Enjoyed that wonderful shot of moisture, and glad none of you showed up for church on Sunday morning, because I would not have been here. Anyway, just a reminder, today we are at the courtyard next week, which is already the sixth Wednesday in Lent. We will be at Pilate's Judgment Hall. And then, of course, a week from Sunday is Palm Sunday and Holy Week, and you'll be getting all that information in the newsletter coming out later this week. So time is moving quickly. We are almost to Easter already. So today we look at the courtyard and we talk about Peter, and we'll get to that in the sermon this morning. So let us begin and let us rise for opening versicles. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us ever walk with Jesus to see the depths of his love, to behold the gift of his forgiveness, to gaze upon the heights of his grace, to marvel at the magnitude of his mercy. We follow Christ to the courtyard. It belongs to the high priest Caiaphas, but Peter is there and so are others. Peter denies Jesus three times, but all is not lost. After his collapse, God's grace is amazing. Faithful Lord, with me abide. I shall follow where you guide. You may be seated for the hymn. Father, in the light of your holiness, I see myself as I really am. And I am guilty. I confess that I have impure thoughts and unclean lips. I think too highly of myself and too little of others. I cling too tightly to the treasures of this world, that I cannot open my hands to receive blessings from you. My feet walk in the path of sin. I wander astray and become a stranger to righteousness.
Forgive me and set me again on the path that leads to life.
Deal with me not as I deserve, but according to your mercy. Not because I am worthy, but because you are gracious. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Hear the good news. Jesus walked the place of rejection, suffering, torment, and death for you. Jesus was determined to go to Gethsemane, Gabbatha, and Golgotha for you. And that is why Jesus forgives you completely and loves you eternally. Faithful Lord, with me abide.
I shall follow where you guide.
And we bow our heads in prayer. Merciful and mighty Father, like Peter, we can make great boasts. Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And when we fail and fall and get lost in guilt, restore to us the joy of our salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Because this is spring break week, we are going to have a children's message this morning.
Good morning. Good morning, kiddos. Come on down. Good morning. Okay, I'm going to need your help here a little bit. Let's see. How about you guys just sit right there? Be great. All righty. I have a couple of things here. What could I use this for?
So,
drawing. Why? Sophia? Okay, it's like a miniature whiteboard. Correct, just like you might have in a classroom that's bigger, but we used this when I was teaching. Individually, everybody had one, and maybe you could work on some math facts. Maybe you would practice spelling words. So, Sophia, here, let's let Sophia do. Sophia, write something on it. I'm gonna give you that, Lucy. Hang on, don't tell me what it is yet. Sophia's gonna write something. Just something small and quick. Sophia is quite an artist, so she might be wanting to draw us a masterpiece here, but if we have her just draw, okay. Very nice. I see some words. Lucy, what does that say so far?
God loves you.
Yeah, Sophia wrote, God loves you. Okay, so Lucy, if we need to move on to the next thing, what did I hand you? An eraser. Okay. Can you erase that, please? Thank you. Okay. So that is the idea of this, right? You can write on it, then you can erase it. You can write more on it, then you can erase it. Now, what happens to these after writing and erasing it a lot of times? Or your whiteboard in your classroom? The marker starts to stain the board. Yeah, after a while, you can't quite get all of the marker off, right? Or there might be little pieces that you left behind. So, Lucy, what is this? Have you seen that in your classroom? is that? Whiteboard cleaner. I can spray this on and then wipe it down really nicely, and then it is brand new, clean, fresh as new. That helps us when we can't get all the stains out ourselves with just wiping it with the eraser. We can use the special whiteboard cleaner that somebody invented to clean the board so that they're nice and clean. So let's put this over here now. Can you put that right there for us? So girls, we make all different kinds of messes in our lives, don't we? Yeah, yeah. We have somebody who made a pretty big mess today in our Bible readings. We're gonna hear more about it, but it was Peter. So the disciples are with Jesus, and Jesus told them that he was going to be arrested and taken away, and he was going to die on the cross. And the disciples said, "We're not gonna let that happen, right? We're going to stand up for you." And Jesus said, "Well, actually, because he's God, he knows everything, right?" He says, "I already know that you're all gonna run away." What did Peter say when Jesus told him, "You're all gonna run away"? Peter said, "No, even if all these guys run away from you, I won't, I never will." And Jesus said, "Actually, because he's God, he knows this," he said, "You're going to deny me 3 times before the rooster crows." I wonder what Peter thought if he still said, "No, I won't do that." But a little while later, after they had been praying in the garden and Jesus was arrested, the soldiers and the big crowd came and took Jesus away. What did the disciples do? They ran away. Peter tried at first to stand up for Jesus, right? We talked about this before, that he had the sword and he chopped off the ear of a man named Malchus. But Jesus took it and fixed it and told Peter, "No, don't do that. We're not going to fight like this." And Peter ran away too. Now they took Jesus. They're taking him to his trial. And this is the middle of the night. They're doing this to Jesus in the middle of the night where there's not anybody really around to see what they're doing. But they're saying all the bad things about Jesus that weren't really true, right? To get Jesus in trouble so that Pilate and the Romans would give him a really bad sentence, even sentence him to death. And Peter is hanging around outside in the courtyard, kind of the area outside the building they were in. There's a fire to get warm because it's cold probably in the middle of the night. Do you remember what happens there? People come up to Peter, and what do they say, Sophia? Yeah, aren't you one of Jesus' followers? Don't you know him? Does Peter say, "Yes, Jesus is my best friend, and I will stand up for him"? No. He says, "I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know him." But then it happens again, right? And then it happens again. Yes. More people come up and say, "Yes, you're one of Jesus' friends. Aren't you with him?" And every time Peter says, "No, not me. I don't even know him." Why did Peter lie? He didn't want to get arrested. He was scared. He was very brave in all his words before, but when it came down to that time, he was scared. He didn't have the courage to stand up. And we hear that then Peter hears the rooster crow, and Jesus looks at him, and Peter realizes everything Jesus said came true, that Peter would deny him 3 times before the rooster crowed, and it tells us that Peter ran away crying. He wept bitterly. He was so sad that he let Jesus down. He betrayed Jesus. We talked a little bit about that on other days too, betrayal. So we make messes too in our life. And we're kind of like, if you want to picture all our sins, we can say sorry, right? But does that erase our sin? Not really. Even our good things, the Bible tells us, all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We're like the dirty whiteboard that can't be cleaned by ourselves. And just like Peter, we need somebody to forgive us and make us clean. Who did Peter need?
God.
Yeah, he needed his Savior, Jesus. And Jesus was going to the cross. Jesus forgave Peter before he even did the bad things, right? Just like God forgives us before we even sin. And Jesus died and rose again, and all our sins are forgiven. And when Jesus looks at us, he sees brand new, clean, pure, perfect children of God. Now, sometimes that guilt and fear that we have are like Peter, that we just want to run away and say, oh, no, I'm too bad. God can't love me. But is that true? No. Jesus forgave Peter, and he forgives us too. And we want to remember that of Jesus' work for us in washing us clean on the cross. We'll be listening to that in a little bit when Pastor has his sermon, okay? Let's fold our hands and pray. Dear God, we are so sorry for the times when we don't listen to you, when we try to do things on our own and don't trust you. Forgive us our sins, Lord. We look to your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross to wash us clean from all our sins and give us new life with you. Holy Spirit, live in our hearts that we could share this good news with everybody and daily grow in faith in you. We love you, Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. Thank you. You guys can go back.
Our scripture reading this Wednesday, we go to the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, Chapter 53, beginning with verse 8. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off and
put off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. But his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading for this Wednesday is from the book of James, chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partially, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of it all. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be God.
And if you are able, we'll rise for the gospel reading. And our gospel reading comes from Matthew chapter 26. And this is Peter denies Jesus. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystander came up and said to Peter, "Certainly, you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Is all this covenant his blood set me when
Father, as we encounter Peter in the courtyard, we must encounter our own guiltiness, that we too have often failed you. But we live by your grace and your love and your mercy, and we have that wonderful assurance that we are forgiven. Help us to see that forgiveness daily within our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. This week we come to the courtyard. We know the events in the garden, how Peter had cut off the ear of Malchus, and yet Jesus had healed him, and all the other disciples fled, but now we find Peter following Christ to the courtyard. He hasn't quite deserted him, or has he? Can you imagine the commotions and all that happens to be taking place in that courtyard that night? Obviously, people were gathered together, wondering, trying to figure out what all was going to take place. Gathered around a fire, must have been a cool evening. The proceedings taking place before the Sanhedrin and the high priest. We know Peter was ready to fight in the garden, but he comes to the courtyard because he also is curious about what will happen. Before going on, how many of you know the name Noel Coward? Noel Coward was a British playwright who died in 1973. But there is a story about him. He wanted to play a joke on 20 of his best friends. So he prepared an identical note which read, "Everyone has found out what you have done. If I were you, I would get out of town." Well, you probably know what happened. All 20 of those friends left town. What would you do if you received a note like that? I can tell you the G word would have kicked in for me, guilt. Not sure what I'm guilty of, but there would be guilt. It begins to drive at us and grind on us. Is it the guilt of maybe sliding a little bit on our IRS stuff? Or maybe the large amount of video games that some of us play? Was it a rendezvous in Chicago with someone? You probably have your own thoughts. What would a note like that trigger in your own mind? Would there be guilt? Because you see, the reality is that guilt plays a very important role in all of our lives. Have you ever experienced a time when you were so guilt-ridden? You were heavy. It was weighing heavy on you. Either your psychic or your heart. And yes, maybe it even caused you some sleepless nights. Maybe it isn't just an event. Maybe that guilt comes in the seasons of life. For instance, as a parent, and you wonder and are laden with guilt because maybe you could have handled the situation differently with your children. And the guilt sort of eats at us. Well, we go back to Peter in the courtyard. Peter is wondering. Peter is nervous. Here was one who just a short time ago was willing to die for his master. But we all know the story. We all know what happens in that courtyard. Yes, Jesus had predicted what would happen, and sure enough, Peter does exactly what our Lord said he would do. In the courtyard, when asked, he denied. He denied knowing his Lord. He denied knowing anything about it. And even to the point of where he got so angry, he even cursed and swore and said, "I do not know the man." This is the Peter whom Jesus saw something in when he said, "I will call you Petra, and on this rock I will build my church." This is the one who had left the boat to become a fisher of men. He had been so much a part of that inner circle of Jesus. He had been there at the Mount of Transfiguration, and he had seen those great events. This is the one when Jesus asked and predicted his passion and asked them who he was. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." It is Peter who walked on the water until his faith sank and he began to sink, and Jesus reached out his hand to him. But in the courtyard, denying his Lord three times, there's that G word, guilt. Oh, all of us have made similar claims. We're going to follow Christ. We're always going to do the right things. Remember your day of confirmation? When you proclaimed you would be faithful even unto death. And if you look at your life, how well has that gone? Have you lived up every day to those expectations of what you proclaimed? Or how about your marriage vows? When you looked one another in the eye and you made that commitment for better or for worse, and yet there are times when the guilt word comes into play. Guilt affects our relationships. It is guilt that caused Peter to rush out after he had denied his Lord and remembered what Jesus had said, to go out and to hide and to bitterly weep when he felt the full brunt of that guilt. Yes, guilt causes cracks in our lives. And sometimes those cracks lead to collapse. And maybe all of us could say there's been a time when we were like Peter that night in the courtyard. What would we have done if we were in his shoes? Yes. Would we have denied our Lord? Would we have felt that same G word? You know, we don't hear about it, but there was also one that night who took guilt in a different direction, and that was Judas. We all know what happened when the guilt word hit him after he had kissed his Lord, betrayed him, and put him into the hands of his enemies. He ran out tragically. And the guilt got the best of him. And you know, on the flight side, when we get so far removed, the ultimate of flight is suicide. And that is the story of Judas. But let's go back to Peter. He went out. He wept. And then he confessed his sins. You see, that's the purpose for which his Lord stood before the Sanhedrin. He came to bear your sins and my sins just as he came to bear Peter's sins. Romans 5:8 simply says, God shows his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's why we take this journey every year. There is a power in that journey to the cross. Christ doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Here in the courtyard, dealing with the G word. But only in a few weeks we will be reminded of that Peter who was so guilt-ridden after his experience in the courtyard. But we will see a confident Peter who will have known God's forgiveness, grace, and love, who would preach a very powerful sermon on Pentecost. You get to see Peter, yes, denying his Lord, confessing his sins, and then on the road to the comeback. Guilt can destroy us. But we are invited to look to the cross, to what Christ has done for us. We have examples like Peter and others. When we are overcome by our own guilt, we know that there is a comeback that can happen for each one of us. Why? Because Christ suffered, died, and rose again. Oh yes, when we go to the courtyard, it was not a shining moment for Peter. Or would have it been a shining moment for any one of us? But God uses the events of that night. And he helps Peter through that to overcome that guilt. The same is true for you and me. When we are heavy bound with guilt, we need to be reminded that Christ paid the price. And that we live not in our guilt, but in the power of his love, his grace, his mercy for each one of our lives. And we need to remind ourselves that we live because of God's everlasting love for us. Amen. We bring our offering forward at this time. Onward in Christ's footsteps treading, pilgrims here our home above, full of faith and hope and love, let us do our Father's bidding. And so we pray. Gracious Father, we stand in awe and wonder at your abounding grace, which you have lavished on us through your Son, Jesus. That's why we celebrate where sin abounds. Gracious Father, in Peter's failure, we see our own failure and our sin. Too often we are spiritually dead, living in the reign of sin and death. But now, through Jesus, you make us alive and children of your great affection and grace. We delight to say, where sin abounds, gracious Father, as lost as we get in guilt, so much more do you restore us to grace, amazing, life-changing, overflowing grace. Grace placed, planned for Jesus to be arrested, tried, condemned, crucified, buried, and risen for us. And that is why we eternally, gratefully, because where sin abounds, Lord, this day we ask that you be with the family of Jack Kasson as they travel to the other side of Colorado for his committal tomorrow. We thank you for that faith that you granted to his life. We ask that you surround this family in your arms of care and comfort and be with them during this time as they remember their loved ones. Indeed, gracious Father, this gospel shows us how fervently for us you really are. You didn't spare your own Son, but gave him up for us all. How will you not also, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things? Jesus, let me faithful be. Life eternal grant to me. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus invites us to walk with him to the high priest's courtyard, a place of great suffering and a place of great love. We will walk with Jesus all the way to the empty tomb and resurrection victory. Let us ever walk with Jesus. Thank you.
the Lord will be your Father, Savior, your Comforter and Brother. Go, my children, I will keep you and give you peace.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.